This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Whether you have big goals for the new year or are crash landing into 2025, there's one thing you can do right now to prepare yourself. Invest in your mental health with therapy. The truth is, nobody knows what the year ahead holds, but a Talkspace therapist can help you get ready for what's next by building mental resilience so you can face life's twists and turns. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you develop coping skills for handling whatever life throws at you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All righty, we're back. And play the certification.
The state of the vote for the President of the United States as delivered to the President of the Senate is as follows. The whole number of the electors appointed to vote for President of the United States is 538. Within that whole number, the majority is 270. The votes for President of the United States are as follows. Donald J. Trump of the state of Florida has received 312 votes. Kamala D. Harris. Kamala D. Harris of the state of California has received 226 votes.
All righty, there you go.
Thunderous applause.
I got to tell you, I was kind of really surprised. I didn't think she would do it. I thought that she would try to find a way around it.
Mm-hmm. Pass it off to someone else. I thought so, too. And, got to give her credit for going up there and actually doing her job. Is what, the first time in 4 years that she's actually done her job?
Yeah. Yeah. And so, anyhow, but I think one of her major worries was, well, the reason she backed away from that border czar thing is she knows that someday it's going to come out and down. When that happens, Mariarcus and these others that have trafficked in it, all these children, they're going to get their day, the cows are going to come home, or the chickens are going to come home to roost, okay? On that, and so she knew that, and that's why she wanted nothing to do with that border czar job.
Well, and plus, you can lie to the American people all you want, but eventually, all they got to do is open their eyes, and they can see the problems. And what a brilliant move it was by, I believe it was DeSantis and the Texas governor, shipping them up to the blue states, so they actually saw the issue instead of they're just whining because it's down in their state. It's not as bad as they say, Well, they start shipping them up here, up into Chicago, up into New York, and all of a sudden, New Yorkers are seeing for themselves what's going on, and that started to destroy the lies about the safe and secure border.
Well, yeah, the mayor of New York had a whole change of heart, didn't he?
He certainly did.
Yeah,
you got people out there trying to call him out, saying, oh, he's just playing to whoever's in power. And, that may be as well, but the fact of the matter is that he's actually speaking truth right now.
And that mayor of Chicago, if he gets out of there without being strung up, that guy is really, you talk about finding ways to anger the citizens there in Chicago. That guy knows everyone, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And so,
and Chicago's not a city that you really want to mess with.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, there. You had all the gang members there to begin with, and now you've got the new gang members.
And you're bringing in competition for your gangs.
Yeah, and they're in competition right now for territory. And so, anyhow, There's one state in the United States of America, Kenny, that has the least amount of people moving into it and the most amount of people moving out of it. Do you know what that one state is?
I would say it's probably got to be California.
You're right. It's California. It's Kamala's state, huh?
Mm-hmm. And Kamala, so, Nancy, Nasty Pelosi, and Greg Newsom. Or what, is it Greg? No, no.
Governor Newsom. What a Newsom he is.
Yeah.
And so, you know what I think we're going to do tonight?
What's that?
I think we should open the phone lines
open
early.
Up the phone lines? Let's do it.
Let's do that. Let's open the phone lines at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. You know, in China, they're having a major problem. Alarming videos and posts claim that hospitals and crematoriums are overwhelmed by rising numbers of cases of fatalities. They describe the rapidly deteriorating status in China with hospitals allegedly struggling to cope with a surge in cases. These claims have sparked widespread concern. Here, some reports suggest that the simultaneous circulation of influenza A, HMPV, and lingering COVID-19 variants have created a perfect storm of respiratory illnesses.
Right.
Alleged reports indicate that emergency rooms are operating at full capacity. What are the alleged symptoms and deaths? Some troubling reports claim that there has been a rise in sudden deaths among adults aged 40 to 80, a group not typically considered high risk for severe viral infections. However, the simultaneous presence of multiple respiratory viruses could exacerbate underlying health conditions, potentially contributing to more rapid fatalities.
So a bunch of them together is causing this.
Yeah.
They're simultaneously. They're converging in the lungs and causing havoc. Great.
Yeah, big time. Social
more
media
good posts. News out of China.
Yeah. Social media posts also discuss cases of severe pneumonia, respiratory failure, and other complications arising from these viruses. One of the most concerning claims emerging from these reports is an alleged spike in the case of white lung syndrome, a rare condition characterized by severe pneumonia and fluid buildup in the lungs. According to some sources, children affected with this influenza A, HMPV, are particularly susceptible to this condition, which is said to require intensive care. Wow. And, boy, that's not good, is it?
No. And if they don't get a hold of this, we're going to end up in the same boat we were 4 years ago again. And this sounds like this one might actually be serious.
Oh, yeah. Well, whatever, you know, remember what they did. With Trump, with his first term, they brought in, you know, the COVID-19. What do you think they're going to do now? Do you think their plans are doing the same thing now?
Well, I'm sure they've got plans of something, you know, whether it has anything to do with these drones that we're flying around, which notice we haven't heard or seen anything about that recently, like that just kind of disappeared. Whether it has anything to do with that or what you just read with this mysterious illness that's spreading throughout China, allegedly. Like, who knows? There's something. We've already had assassination attempts. I mean, within the last 365 days alone, what else could happen? And anything's possible.
Yeah, I'm afraid to ask, huh? It's you know, I want to go back to, you know, here today. They in D.C., although they had like a snowstorm there, which was nothing like what we had out here. But anyhow, when a couple inches of snow falls there, they close down everything. But here, some of the J6ers were going to be holding a press conference there, and they asked me to come down. I don't know what happened. I didn't see hear anything about any of it taking place yet. But The Biden regime's hitman, the most responsible for the persecution of the J6ers, is out of a job, and that's that Matthew Graves. He is a wicked individual. I mean, this guy, he is evil, and he's the one, he was the number one persecutor of the J6ers, and he's resigned. He resigned. I mean, he'll be leaving office just before Trump takes office.
Mm-hmm. He probably should be leaving the country as well.
My guess is he might want to do that, okay? Mm-hmm. Because you've got all of those family members of all those J6ers. You've got, 1,500 of them out there all together. I think there's still 1,200 in jail right now. And
let me think about it. If you had a 12-year-old girl 4 years ago, she'd be driving now, and you could still be in jail without a trial.
Yeah.
I mean, to be ripped away from your family like this, it's unheard of. We've had
three or four people commit suicide.
I know. Not to mention any of the other abuse that a lot of them have suffered through.
Yeah. But to arrest the 76-year-old grandmothers, you know, it's unbelievable to do that. I mean, just, you know, unbelievable. Okay, the phone lines are open at 888-677-9673. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call.
All right, first up, we got Cliff in New York.
I knew it.
I have several comments. I'm talking about a lot of things. First on Harris, I think she's glad she lost. I think she's all relieved. I think she's just happy to get out of her town and get out of town in one piece and go on to something else. I heard her on that Call Her Daddy podcast, and she said she was nervous about the whole thing. She only said that, like, in one sentence, but you could pick up that she did feel overwhelmed and by the whole thing. So I think they made a mistake in putting her in that spot. She didn't really want the job.
You know what it is, don't you? See, it's simple, Cliff.
Yeah.
She's scared of Hillary getting her because Hillary said that she's the only woman that deserves to be the first woman president. She's the one that broke the glass ceiling. And anyone else, any other woman does not deserve that. So Kamala knew if she made it to the White House, Hillary would be after her.
Well, look at what's happened to her. There's not too many people around that Hillary's been after, you know.
Yeah.
Many more than Vince Foster.
Over 100 altogether.
Well, unfortunately for Hillary, Kamala today broke the glass ceiling as she made history as the first woman to certify her own election loss.
Well,
there's a first for everything.
Yeah, the only woman, yeah, that would be the only woman. Al Gore.
Yeah.
Al Gore certified his election loss, but
and so
he
did
wasn't
Mike
a
Pence,
woman.
But, I mean, Mike Pence really, he was pretty happy about it.
Yeah, he certified his own election loss, too, but he wasn't president. He was on the ticket as vice president. But, you know, Al Gore could have been. You know, he could have been a woman and didn't know, you know, if he felt like it, but back then
they kind of knew what a woman was.
Well, you had to actually be that. You couldn't just feel
they didn't know what sex was, though, back then. They knew what a woman was, but they didn't know the definition of sex.
Bill Clinton
according
did.
To Bill.
According to Bill Clinton?
Yeah.
Well, he's...
Go ahead.
He made the word is popular, didn't he?
Yep.
What is? You know, a lot of people, Clifford, didn't realize it when Clinton said that the woman, what was her name?
Monica Lewinsky.
Monica, yeah, when he said to her, I did not have sex with that woman, Miss Malinsky, he was telling her that he didn't have sex with another woman. He was afraid she was he was trying to, afraid that she was going to roll over on him, but people don't know that.
That's why there was that pause. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, there.
She didn't do too well after that. I think she gained a lot of weight. Didn't really date anyone from 30 to 40 or maybe just had a couple of dates or whatever. And almost like got herself out of the relationship thing by really gaining, you know, like a lot of weight, you know. So I think that psychologically she seemed to capitalize on that at first almost. And then it just it ended up like in a personal tailspin. So that's another thing. Like these politicians don't care about really kind of semi ruining these people psychologically.
Yeah, you may have a good point there. All right, you made some very good points. Do you have any others tonight?
Yeah, on Jonah, he could have been the Omega Man. say Nineveh didn't repent and there was a Sodom and Gomorrah destruction. What do you think, where would that have left Jonah? He wouldn't have been victimized by that, right? He wouldn't have got caught up with the fire and brimstone. Right?
No, I wouldn't have thought so, no. But Jonah had a bad experience with a gourd. So God brought him out. You see, remember, the reason he wanted to destroy Nineveh, he wanted it destroyed because of how they had treated the Israeli people. But God asked him a question. First of all, he put him under a gourd in the hot sunlight. And were you ever around those when those big leaves, when they would wilt, they put out a real bad stink. Mm-hmm. So he's up under that gourd, and those giant leaves are wilting. And here, God asked him a question. Should I also destroy all of those that don't know their right from their left? Should I destroy them too? No, that means children or incompetent people, you know, people that are, you know, not mentally capable.
It is interesting that they did repent, though, too, because if you compare them to a lot of these people today, like a Chuck Schumer or someone like that, these people don't seem to have any, even a hairbreadth of an interest in repenting. Yeah.
Well, they had probably never seen anything. Remember, their god was Dagon, the sea, the god of the sea, the fish god. Mm-hmm. And to see all of a sudden their fish god comes up on shore and spits out this guy who didn't smell good at that point, probably his skin was probably blue or green, and he's coming out yelling and hollering, and so what he did, it literally scared the dickens out of the king. And the king heard about this. He said, maybe this God of Israel, maybe if we repent, because the God of Israel was very well known for doing what he wanted to do, right? And so the king said, maybe if we repent, maybe he'll spare us, okay? And that's what happened. I'm guessing in their view, their God, Dagon, would be submissive to the God of Israel. Remember what happened when they took they put the statue of Dagon, they put it next to the ark. Remember what happened?
Yeah, Kenny what knows. Happened?
They came back and they found it knocked over. They stood it up again. They came back again. They found their statue bowing to the ark.
So they believed that they would have been destroyed. That was a key factor. And they did believe that they were about to get destroyed.
Absolutely.
Now, had he gone straight there, though, would they have believed him, though?
I don't know. God,
I mean, it's amazing how that all worked out.
Well, God was kind of on top of that. He knew.
Well, of course, but that's what I'm saying, though. Like, yeah. Unbeknownst to him, him not wanting to go actually worked the way that it was supposed to.
Yeah. There's a number of things that, you know, we've had to do, we didn't want to do, but we know that the Lord told us to do it, so we had to go get it done, huh? And so.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so.
Well, I also think there's the resilience of Jonah. I think, you know, the average person, if they were in the belly of a whale, couldn't get themselves back on their feet and make the trip, you know, to a city in the desert conditions and do that, you know. So you got to give him credit for, like, being able to get back on his feet, literally, you know.
Well, he kind of had some help from above on that.
Yeah, yeah. But it shows you, maybe that's a good subtext to the story, where if God helps you, will give you that supernatural help to get back on your feet from some disaster, even though it was God's doing, in a sense, he got him back on his feet.
Well, God will always prepare you for anything he sends you to do.
Yeah. Yeah, like there was provisions there, too, on the way. He gave them that shade, you know, that temporary shade overnight, you know. So that's kind of interesting, too, that, you know, for the New Year's, the idea of getting back on your feet in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. I mean, not only that, but he protected him. Look, you know, here, you know, they... The Ninevites did not care much for Israelis. And here, he's there, and he's telling these people, 40 days in your history, 40 days you're out of here, you know?
Yeah.
God protected him from the people there.
Well, he could have been mobbed. Talking about getting mobbed, you know, it was just one person, basically. Too, yep. That's another thing, you know. It's like, what does the Bible say? You know, one can chase 1,000, two can chase 10,000, but he was way outnumbered.
Yeah. Yeah, by about 1,000,000.
Yeah. So, you got to give him credit for eventually getting there.
Yep. All righty. Did you have a good New Year?
Yeah, it's good. It's good. It's looks like we're getting the cold patch consistently, you know, so it looks like that's going to happen. So got to get those good gloves. Amazon sells the good gloves. You can get, like, the $30 gloves.
How much white stuff do you have there?
Today, probably 2 or 3 inches came through.
Where I'm at, we got over a foot, and it's still coming down.
Wow. It's still coming down, too.
Wow.
Out by me, it was only about 4 inches,
yeah.
Which ain't too bad. But, Pastor, you're out in the snow belt, aren't you?
Yeah.
You get all that lake effect snow, so, yeah, about a foot's probably about right.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
One factor, people do need to be careful, because the stuff, like, forms into sheer ice. There's, like, sheets of ice out there. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it kind of, like, so it's borderline a little slightly wet snow, and then there's some sheets of ice that form, so people need to be careful with that.
Well, that's the strange thing, because here, you know, like I said, the temperature's been down in the 20s.
Yeah.
Now, in the 20s, things don't normally thaw in the 20s. And yet, for some reason, and both at the church and at my on my driveway, concrete, it thawed, but then, you know, the snow melted and turned to water, but then it froze now, and now it's all ice.
Yeah, be careful, you know, when you get out of your car, because I had a friend a couple of years ago, you know, he just fell getting out of his car in the driveway and ended up breaking his wrist, and, you know, he had to go to the hospital for that, and he couldn't sign his own stuff because it was on his writing hand, you know, so.
I got to move on. We have other callers.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So keep safe with that ice. All right.
All righty. Let's go out to Cleveland. We have AC on.
Hello, Pastor.
Hey, AC.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, but you kind of sound like you're far away.
You sound like you're far away.
Kenny, can we do something about that?
Nah,
I mean, I can turn you up here, or I can hear you.
Not much that I can do about that here. Okay, well, I can try to turn him up a little bit, but
I'm going to turn him up here on my end.
Okay.
Go ahead, AC.
Okay. Last week, Clifford called in, and he was asking you about Orah's Rebellion. Remember?
Okay, wait a minute. Again, what rebellion was that?
He called in and was talking about number 16, Korah's Rebellion.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
And so you started to explain to him about it, and in that situation, and then also last week, you had Wendy Wilson on, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the both of you were talking about the Mediterranean diet. Okay, remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I find it real interesting that Korah and his crew rebelled against Moses, and God put Korah and his princes on a subterranean diet.
Boy, did he. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I never thought of it that way.
Yeah, for all time and eternity. But the point here I want to make is in verse 28, Moses said, "Hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind." Now, this Korah wasn't, he was saying everybody was holy, and he was speaking against the works that the Holy Ghost was doing through Moses. And it says, you know, that he provoked the Lord, and the Lord brought judgment on him, and his princes and his whole family.
Yeah, all of his followers.
And I tell you, this is a severe warning, because when God is working through somebody, and people around that person speak against what God is doing, they are in the path of God's judgment, and God dropped all those people dead and opened up the earth. And,
well,
you know, it talks about in Hebrews how they entered in because of unbelief. Well, it wasn't that they didn't believe in God. They didn't believe that God was working through Moses.
Yeah, well, Moses' own older brother and sister, they decided that they should take over and that Moses should listen to them and remember what God said to them. He said,
"Yeah."
No. And so here, but you find a lot of that. Look at, remember Elijah and Ahab and Jezebel?
Yeah.
Okay, remember how Jezebel, she put a contract on Elijah?
Right.
And so what happened? It didn't end well for her, did it?
No.
The Bible says,
no.
"Touch not my anointed." Remember there in Genesis with Abraham and Sarah, where, the king decided to take Sarah.
Abimelech?
Abimelech, yeah. And God told him, "You don't want to do that, okay? Don't have anything to do with that man's wife." And Abimelech, God scared the dickens out of him. What did he tell Abraham? Pack your stuff up and get your people and get out of here. You almost had got me killed, huh?
Right, right.
And so, you know.
So, God isn't kidding when he warns of judgment. And, you know, people have to be careful even today, especially today, in the end times.
You're right.
Because God's not going to put up with things that he may have put up with in the past. So, and even another example that you just brought up with Cliff about Jonah, or Cliff brought it up, Jonah was put on a Mediterranean diet, too.
Yeah, that's true, too.
For 3 days. Okay?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he got a spirit of evangelism, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he saw the light, didn't he?
Yeah. And, you know, so that little experience there in the big fish or whale, it sure changed him.
I would imagine that would change about anybody.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you don't step out of the belly of a whale being the same person as you were when you went in. One way or another, that's definitely going to change you.
Well, I remember on the National Geographic, they had that Chinese or that Japanese fisherman that had been swallowed by a whale. You know, there was a cow also that had been swallowed and survived too. But anyhow, that guy came out and his skin was like a bluish green. And he had a horrible, horrible smell to him. They said the smell was just unrelenting. Okay, so can you imagine if you believe that your God is the God of the sea, Dagon, and here you see your God come up on shore and spit this guy out, right? And the next thing you know, you've got this guy yelling and screaming. You know, 40 days in your history. That would be enough to that would concern me, I could tell you that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Well, anyhow.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, in that situation with the Ark and Dagon. I think the first time they had the Ark in there, the statue fell over, and then they prop the statue up, and the next time the statue fell over and the head and arms came off.
Yep, I remember. I got to move out because we're up against a hard break. But thanks for calling. Be back after this. When your world has come unglued and you don't know what to do, remember God, he's the one that made you. When the world has put you down and your life is one big frown, remember him, he's the one who loves you. And through all kinds of trouble, you'll find you'll never change. Through the good times and the sorrows, Almighty God is still his name. When you've been done all wrong and you need someone who's strong, remember him, he's the one who loves you. And through all kinds of trouble, you'll find you'll never change. When the world has found you guilty, he'll take away the blame.
Away the blame.
He's always right, he's never wrong. He'll make your troubles all be gone. Remember him, he's the one who loves you. 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 Remember him, he's the one who died for you.
Yep, that's a good thing to remember right there. Let's go out to, hey, we have Jack in San Diego.
Pastor Ernie, how are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you, Jack? Oh, you're in New Jersey, right?
San Diego.
Oh, that's right. Okay, yeah.
Yes.
I'm doing okay.
72 degrees, beautiful blue skies. Just another day in paradise.
Well, we're as white as snow out here.
23 degrees right now. We're in Independence.
Yeah.
Might even be colder out by you, Pastor.
You know,
I was born and raised in California, but I think when I was about 13 or 14, I spent 1 year in Massachusetts. I could not take it. I'm so glad to get back to California.
Well, if you stay there long enough, you'll be there all by yourself, because people are leaving there in large numbers. And
oh,
nobody's
I know. It's hard for me not to think about leaving. I don't know if you've heard, but half of the insurance companies have left, and they won't write homeowners insurance in California. And right now, the auto club is threatening to cancel my homeowner's insurance. Had my house insured for 25 years with them, and not even one claim. But
well, I'd say the problem is, though, too, if
having quite a battle with them, because they want to inspect my house inside and out. And I told them that, you know, you'd be violating my Fourth Amendment rights if you want to search my house inside. You don't have my permission to do that. And they've told me if I don't, they're threatening me. If I don't concede to allowing them to search my house inside and take pictures, they're going to cancel my insurance.
Huh. What do you think they're looking for?
I think what they're trying to do is eliminate any type of risk possible to maximize their profits. So the house is was built 30 years ago. I've owned it for 25 years. No claims. But think about this. Because, you know, everybody now uses these programs developed by AI. So AI is probably telling them, you know, Jack has had that house for 25 years. It's 30 years old. It's probably due for a water pipe leak. It's going to cost you thousands of dollars. So one of the things they're demanding to do is to test my water pressure. And I said, well, what are you going to do next? You want to test my furnace, my water heater? How about my chimney? Or maybe you want to see if I have any guns in the house. Where does it end?
Good question.
And remember, this is an insurance company, which is a quasi-governmental agency, because they don't exist unless they comply with the insurance commission. And so this is all being allowed by the insurance commission of the state of California. They have finally found a foothold to get inside of your house. This is my castle. This is the last stand. So anyway, that's not even what I called about. What I called about is I think we're missing a golden opportunity, and I haven't heard anybody talk about it. So right now, the Republicans have control of the House of Representatives and the Senate. Why don't we impeach Biden?
Well, they just tried to do that, but you know, Congress has been trying to do that. They haven't been able to do it because the rhino Republicans, we don't have enough support in the House.
This, to me, even, you know, if you couldn't complete the process, this would be a perfect opportunity to take testimony under oath.
take testimony on you under oath, and you also
protected.
You also tie his hands up a little bit for these last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
The thing I wanted to ask you is that I thought was a little bit strange. So, we have, let's see, the Congress was became official on the 3rd, January the 3rd, but the president doesn't take office till, is it the 20th or the 19th?
The 20th. The 19th, 20th. He's having a rally.
So Congress is the 3rd, the president is the 20th. Don't you think it would make more sense if both the House and the Senate and the presidency all became official and took office on the same day?
I would think it would be.
I don't know. It seems almost like we're kind of at, if there was something that came up during this weird time period, right, where we have the new Congress that's sworn in, but not the president. So well, if something happens in the next 2 weeks,
I think it might be so
the possibility of having to go to war. Isn't that going to present a problem? Wouldn't it be more of a united front if everybody took office on the same day?
I think the idea was to have the Congress in place so that on the very first day of his presidency, he can hit the ground running. And already, and they would know exactly what he's going to do, what he's going to propose, and they would be ready to vote on it. And so I think that's where it's at. But I have to move on because I got to go out to New Jersey.
All right, we'll talk later. And
all righty.
Have a good evening.
Thank you. God bless. Let's go to Mary in New Jersey.
Hello, Pastor Ernie. Hello, everybody.
Hey,
Are
Mary.
You there?
Yeah, we're here. Can you hear me?
Oh, your phone just went down low. I was listening to it. It was really loud. It's really low now. I have a Bible question again, if you don't mind. I was trying
sure.
to think of all the names in the Bible that God gave to people, or he changed them, like Abram and Sarah. He changed them to Abraham and Sarah, and he named Adam. And an angel gave the name to John the Baptist's father. His name will be John. And Mary was told his name will be Jesus. And then the one Jacob became Israel. And then Simon became Peter. But I can't, for the life of me, I can't think, when did Saul become Paul? How did that change come about? Do you know?
On the road to Damascus.
Pardon?
On the road to Damascus when Paul saw the light. He went from becoming Silas to Paul.
Oh, God named him at that point in time?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I couldn't remember that about the name at all.
Yep.
So he became Paul.
Yeah, right. Yeah. He went from
Silas. Any other names that were changed?
I'm trying to think of right now offhand, I can't think of any, but they're... There were.
Oh, your voice is so low. I can barely hear.
I don't know what's going on here. Kenny,
it was loud. I was listening. It was really loud. And then all of a sudden it dropped.
I don't understand it.
Well,
so there's no other names, right? And on the road to Damascus, that's when I don't remember that. About him changing.
Well, that's where he. That is where he changed from. Right now, when that was where he changed from Silas. To Paul, okay, from that point on, he saw the light, and that was where, when he went into, when he got back up, and he went into the house of, what was his name? I'm having one of my senior moments there.
He was struck blind, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he was struck blind, but when he went, they referred to, the Lord had told him, where he had gone to, the house that he had gone to, his name would be Paul, okay? And so...
Oh, all right. I couldn't remember that.
Right. Yeah, he spent 3 days... See, Paul spent 3 days in the wilderness in Arabia being personally... not 3 days, 3 years. Personally tutored by the Lord Jesus himself.
Wow.
And so...
3 years in Arabia?
Yeah, in the Arabian desert. That's why he
God
said he was one...
Personally taught him?
Yeah, the Lord Jesus personally taught him.
Wow. Okay.
That's where he says, deal. See, that's where he says that, where he was born out of due season. If you go over to Galatians in chapter 2, tells you in there. Now, this is why he referred to himself as the least of the apostles, but actually he had written more books than any of them.
Yeah, I never, when I was little and I heard what he did to, he stoned, they said he looked like an angel, and he saw God, he saw heaven open, the one he stoned.
That was James.
I don't like him. that's when he was Saul.
Yeah.
He handed his coat over or something.
Yeah, that was, not James, that was Stephen. Stephen.
Oh, Stephen, yeah. Yeah. I'm thinking, I don't like this person. Wow.
Yeah.
All right. I want to thank you. Thank you for your time. Thank you very much.
Well, I want to thank you. God bless. Have a great day. Okay. Good
thank
night.
You.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. You know what time it is there, don't you?
Yeah, it's about time to head out. We got, about 8 minutes here?
Yep. It's time to give the
invitation.
How would you do that?
How would I do this?
Yeah.
I would listen to you and let you do it.
All right. Folks, that's actually the most important part of the radio program.
Is listening to you.
Because you know what? We have an opportunity. You know, we witness to people, but on the radio, we witness a lot of people at one time. And every night we have new listeners. People pick us up, many by accident. I've gotten a lot of letters from people saying, I come across you by accident, and I said that prayer with you. And so, you know, the essentials of salvation is this. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 3:2. This was the message of John the Baptist as he preached in the wilderness of Judea. To the people who thronged about him, it was a timely message. It was appropriate for his day. It was also appropriate for our day. Jesus also said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Luke 13:3. And sinners must repent in order to be saved. Now, you have people out there. See, this is how one of the reasons we know that we're really in the last days. You have a larger groups of people out now that have apostatized. The Word of Faith movement preaches the repentance is not necessary for salvation. You've got a growing number out there that are preaching today that everybody goes to heaven, nobody goes to hell. These are what you call the God's Word, the Bible calls apostate. And here's some: sinners must repent in order to be saved. Backsliders must return unto the Lord Jesus and repent. This is God's plan, God's way. There's no other alternative, nothing that can take its place, no other way at all. So good works won't do it for you. They won't get you to heaven. Catechisms won't do it. The best education won't do it. Just quitting one's sins won't do it. And merely turning around in the road won't do it. One must repent in order to be saved. God says so. And he means it. What is repentance? It is a godly sorrow. See, Kenny, this is what a lot of people don't understand. They don't understand repentance is not simply saying, well, I'm sorry, but it's actually realizing that it was your sin, and my sin, that caused Christ to suffer the way he did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then if you realize the suffering that he did was far beyond our comprehension. I mean, look, he had the sins of the world, past, present, and future, laid upon him. This is a darkness. This is a darkness beyond description. And so here, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. 2 Corinthians 7:10. That doesn't mean doing a little something to ease a guilty conscience. Godly sorrow is a deep sorrow. It reaches every nook and every corner of the heart and mind and soul. It goes to the depth of one's being. It means that one is sorry for all his sins because he's deeply repentant and gives up all his sins, that goes out of the sinner's business. Now, you know, it's an interesting thing because a lot of people you know, say, I don't know if I was that repentant. And they're very concerned about, they don't know if they're sorry enough. But just that being so important to them is evidence that they're sorry. Now they're sorry because they don't know
mm-hmm.
but they also know that they certainly don't want to end up in the pit of hell. And so what do? They're going for forgiveness. They're begging for forgiveness. Okay, and so they're sorry not only for what Christ, you know, for what he had to suffer, but they're also sorry for not knowing, you know, if they're sorrowful enough. That's something, isn't it?
Yeah.
But the Bible tells us we can know that we're saved. We can know, okay? And so, folks, it's not a complicated thing. It's very simple. The simplicity of Scripture, the Word of God. You call upon the Father. You tell him. You have that godly sorrow. Let him know that if you could have undone, if you could have done anything to keep Jesus from suffering that way, you would have. And then you ask for forgiveness. Then you ask the Lord Jesus to be the Lord of your life, all of your life. And here's where it comes in. Remember, okay, he placed you before him, before himself. He gave everything for you, and now you have to place him before everything, before yourself. That's what he's asking for you to do. Place him before everyone and everything. And once you've done that, you've called upon his name, then you will become a new creature. You will become a born-again believer. You will be an heir of the kingdom of God himself. And you will be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Now, we can say that, Kenny, can we say that with absolute assurance?
Absolutely.
Because we got whose word on it?
We've got God's word on it.
God's word himself on it, right? And, you know, do you know why God can't lie?
Because there's no reason?
No, he can't lie because whatever he says becomes. He speaks things into existence. Whatever he says will happen or did happen, did or will. And so that's why he can't lie. Everything that he says, he speaks into existence.
So it's literally impossible.
Right. And so, folks, that's what you need to do. But you need to do that tonight. I wouldn't wait till tomorrow.
Because you don't know if you have tomorrow.
Yeah. How much time do I have? I don't know.
Well, you've got about a minute tonight.
I got what? There
well,
you go.
Just folks. In the show, though. Just in the show, you got about a minute left. For after the show, I don't know. I mean, it could be 5 minutes, could be 5 more years, 50 more years. Who knows?
But who knows? Yep. Well, yeah, that's. I wouldn't want to be on the road tonight, so you'd be very careful out there. So until tomorrow, because we're at that time now where we want to say until tomorrow. We want to say good night.
Good
right?
night. Yep.
Thanks for being here, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And then we want to say God bless and thanks for listening tonight.
God bless.
And then always, always, always.
Always.
Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Keep fighting the fight.
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 Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's right? What's left? Hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.